274, 273.
You said 273.
I did, didn't I? Okay. Number 273 is we'll complete our singing for this evening, following up with the children. This song came to mind this morning, and wanted to put it in tonight's program. As we sing both verses, number 273.
Upon the sea and upon the earth.
And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book.
And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, and it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey.
And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter.
And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. May God bless the reading of his word. What an awesome God we serve. Amen. Amen. You know, as we come to this section in Revelation, we come into a section that's a very long vision. Each of the visions that John had up to this point, he always introduced with two words. He said, I saw. I saw. And we were in chapter 1, verse 12. John said, I saw the seven churches. They were gold candlesticks. In chapter 1, verse 17, he saw Jesus as Almighty God. In chapter 4, verse 4, we saw the church in heaven. We saw the 24 elders gathered around the throne. Chapter 6, verse 9, John saw the tribulation saints martyred for their faith. And then in chapter 8, we saw the seven trumpet angels bringing forth judgments on the earth. Right now, we're between the sixth and the seventh trumpet angel. The sixth angel has sounded, and now we're waiting for that seventh trumpet angel. And John starts and he says, and I saw. He says, I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. He says he was clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face were as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Who is this angel? You know, this is not the trumpet angel. The seventh angel has yet to sound. If you look in verse 7 of this very chapter that we're in, it says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel when he shall begin to sound. And he's not sounded yet. This is another mighty angel that comes down from heaven. Some of the commentaries I looked at suggested this might be Jesus Christ. I don't think this is Jesus. Because in Revelation chapter 19, we see the triumphal entry of Jesus. In Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16, John says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him, that was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. He had a name that was written. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Written on his vesture, written on his thigh, we're told in Revelation 19, verse 16. He has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's Jesus Christ coming back. He's coming back to make the earth better. He's coming back to overthrow evil. And I want y'all to know, Jesus is coming again. Amen. I wish he'd come tonight, don't you? Amen. I wish he'd come and take me up right now. I wouldn't mind missing the rest of this sermon if Jesus would just come on. I love him very much. But no, this is another mighty angel. This is an angel. We don't know exactly what this angel is, but he is another of the mighty angels. He is a mighty angel. Look what he says in verse 1. He came down from heaven. He is an angel who is sent from God. He doesn't have his own message. He has a message that God has given to him. He's a gigantic angel. He says he's clothed with a cloud. You know, I can't touch the clouds, and neither can you. This angel is clothed with a cloud. He's up high. And I want you to notice it says next, he says he has a rainbow upon his head. What does a rainbow symbolize? That's the covenant of God. You know, the world today will tell you the rainbow is a symbol of human unity, and that's not true. God gave a rainbow right after Noah came off of the ark. And God promised in that rainbow, he said, I will never more judge the earth by water that way. I'll not flood it again. But the rainbow is a symbol of the covenant. It's a covenant of God's grace. God could have destroyed this earth and never planted it again. And I tell you this, that God would have been justified in doing that. But our God is a loving God. Our God is a caring God. I thank God that God loves us as much as he does. He tolerates quite a bit from us, I tell you. He tolerates quite a bit from me. Y'all can amen that if you want to. Because all of us, when we look in the mirror, we see a sinner. But thank God that God is as he is. This angel has a rainbow on his head. It says his face was as the sun. You know, that reminds me when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, when he was in the presence of God. And when Moses came down from Mount Sinai and he had received the commandments, in Exodus 34 it says, the skin of his face shone as he talked with his brother. And all the people of Israel saw Moses. And when they saw his face shine, they were afraid to come to him because they were frightened of that. When you're in the presence of God, God changes you. Amen. He changes you. And this angel has been in the direct presence of God. He's looked upon God. And this angel is coming down and he's got a message that he wants to share. I want you to notice that this gigantic angel, and I want you to imagine how this looks. You've got this gigantic angel. You've got this mighty angel. He's clothed with the clouds. He's got the rainbow in his hair. He's got a shining face. His legs are like pillars of fire. God used pillars of fire to lead Israel out of Egypt. If you remember that story, God did that. But he's got pillars of fire. But in his hand, John says, he has a little book. It's a little book. It's a little tiny book. It's not a big book. It's just a tiny little thing. He doesn't tell us how little it is. But in comparison to the angel, it must look ridiculous indeed. You know, what is this little book? I believe this little book represents God's message to the world. I believe it represents God's word to the world. And people discount God's word today. They think that there is nothing to God's word. Can I tell you this? God's smallest word is more powerful than anything.
Amen.
God's word is almighty. God's word rules. The world looks at God's word and looks at God's Bible and they say, it's just another book. That's all it is. It's nothing. It's just a tiny little book. It's just one book in all the libraries. But can I tell you, God's word is a book of books.
Amen.
And this angel has come with a message. And it doesn't matter that it's a small book because it's a big word when it comes from God. I want you to see this angel. First of all, it says that this angel, he sits his feet, his right foot on the sea, and his left foot is on the earth. And what he's getting ready to say is going to affect the entire world. When you set your foot on the sea and you set it on the earth, you've covered the entire earth. You're in charge of it. I've told people, climb Mount Everest to get up there so that they can get to the top and say they have conquered the mountain. Can I tell you this? They hadn't conquered nothing. All they've done is an ant's crawled to the top of a hill. But God has conquered everything God has ever wanted to conquer. God is reclaiming the earth now. And this angel, he sets his foot on land and on the sea. And his word is going to change all things. This angel cries out, not with a whisper, but he says with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. Can you imagine how that would be if you were out in the woods walking around and you heard a lion roar? How many of y'all would want to go up and say, here, kitty, kitty, let me play with you now? You wouldn't want to do that. If you hear a lion roar, if you've got any sense, you want to run in the other direction. But this creature, this angel, he roars with the voice of a lion because he represents the lion of the tribe of Judah. He represents God Almighty. He represents Zion. And he's speaking now, and he wants to be heard. And he speaks as a lion roars. And when he cries, the Bible says, their seven thunders uttered their voices. Seven thunders uttered their voices. You know, when you hear thunder, that tells you there's lightning coming. When you hear thunder, that tells you there's generally going to be a storm not too far away. And these seven thunders tell us some things. First of all, they tell us God is still in control. No matter what may happen next, God is still in control. Did you know God's still in control today?
Amen.
I am so glad of that.
Amen.
I am so glad God's in control. Aren't y'all?
Amen.
I'm glad I'm not in control. I can barely drive my car anymore, and I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. But thank God, God's in control. And God's in control of all things. The Bible says in Proverbs 19, verse 21, many are the plans in the mind of a man, but it's the purpose of the Lord that will stand. 1 Chronicles 29:11 says this, yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, and all that is in heaven and the earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head above all. God owns everything. And God oversees everything. Isaiah 14:24 says this, the Lord of hosts has sworn, as I have planned, so shall it be. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. God said, it is going to be, and it's going to be my way. God's word is getting ready to go out. God is in control, and his word is going out across the land. That little book, that word that the world has despised, now it's going to mean everything. There are people today that think nothing of God's word. But can I tell you this? It is only God's word that can change a heart.
Amen.
It's only God's word that can make a life different. You can go to psychiatrists, psychologists, doctors. You go whatever you want to go to, but unless you get God's word inside of you, you're not going to be blessed. And this angel, look at verse number 4. When the seven thunders had uttered their voices. Now I want you to notice, these thunders utter their voices. He says it's a voice. What is a voice? A voice is something that with intelligence. There's seven thunders, but there's a message in this. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because I can read. Can y'all read? I can read. Look what he says. Verse number 4. When they had uttered their voices, John says, I was about to write. What were you going to write, John? John said, I was going to write down what these seven thunders told me. But then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. Don't write it down. This is not for anybody to know. You know, I wondered about that when I first looked at that. I said, why is it that God didn't want everybody to know what the seven thunders had to say? And I was drawn in my mind to John chapter 12. There's a wonderful passage in John chapter 12. I want y'all to write that down. John 12, verses 25 through 28. Jesus was teaching one day, John 12, 25 through 28. And Jesus had these words to say. He said, he that loves his life shall lose it. And he that hates his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I love that. Because Jesus said, if you serve me, you have eternal life. He said, if you serve me, the Father will honor you. I preached this morning, and I know it stepped on some toes, but I'll say it again. If you want to be blessed of God, you've got to serve God.
Amen.
Do I need to say that again? I think I will. If you want to be blessed of God, you've got to serve God.
Amen.
Let me do that one more time. If you want to be blessed of God, you've got to serve God.
Amen.
There's nothing in the Bible that says God is obligated to bless you, that God is your waiter, that God is your servant. There's nothing in the Bible that says that. We are called to serve the living God.
Amen.
And God is God, and I'm not God.
Right.
And God says, if you'll serve me, he says, I'll bless you.
Amen.
I will lift you up. I will take care of you. The Father said, I will honor you. And what better honor could we have than to be called the children of God?
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. I wouldn't take anything for that title.
Amen.
I wouldn't be President of the United States for that title. Amen.
Amen.
To be the child of the living God. God says, you are my child. What an honor that is. And God says, one day you shall inherit my heaven. What an honor that is. That's going to dwarf anything we can imagine in this world. The mansions that people go after, the things that people have, is going to be tiny compared to what one day we who are the children of God by faith in Christ shall have. And it's offered to everyone. To everybody. You can be young. You can be old. You can be handsome. You can be like, I better not call her name, should I? You can be thin. You can be fat. You can be any of those things. But if you have called on the name of Jesus and given your life to him, then the Father will honor you one day.
Amen.
For his son's sake. For his son. Isn't that a wonderful thing?
Amen.
That, you know, Jesus said this, and going back to John 12, he said, if you serve me, my Father will honor you. But then Jesus, as he began to talk to his disciples, he began to pray. And Jesus was a praying person. And as he began to talk to his disciples about what was coming, and what was going to happen. He said, now is my soul troubled. He said, but what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I into the world. And then Jesus prayed a heartfelt prayer. He looked up to heaven and he said, Father, glorify thy name. That's a golden prayer right there. Did you know that? Father, glorify thy name. And right then, the Bible says in John 12:28, when Jesus said that, then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and I will glorify it again. Isn't that beautiful? God spoke back. You know, God speaks to his children. Amen. And he'll speak to your heart. But the Bible tells us, and here's something interesting in John 12:29. The people that stood by heard it, but some said it thundered. They didn't hear a voice. They heard thunder. When John heard the thunder, the seven thunders, and he heard this in his vision, he heard what was being said because he was a child of God. God was his and he was God's. And he heard that. And he got ready to write that down. And you know what God told him? He said, don't write it down. He said, seal it up. Because there's things that God wants to tell his children, but it doesn't have anything to do with the unbeliever. Right. The thing the unbeliever needs to know is that they're sinners that need a Savior.
Amen.
You know, we need to tell that to people more often.
Amen, brother.
That there is a hell after this life.
That's right.
You know, nobody believes that anymore. They don't think there's a hell after this life. They think, well, if I go through this life, I can ignore God up forever. And then when I die, God's going to be privileged to take me into heaven. And that is not what the Bible teaches.
That's right, sir.
The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ came and suffered terribly on the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood, hanging between two thieves. He died so that we would not have to die. And Jesus said, if you believe in me, if you receive me as Lord and Savior, he said, if you do that, if you call upon me, then God will do a work in you and God will give you eternal life. And when he does, God, the Holy Spirit, comes and moves into your life. And when he does that, God begins to open up the Bible to you. Oh, I love it whenever I'm studying my Bible. And Jerry, when I'm starting to read the Bible and I'll get into prayer and I'll be studying and I'll read through the passages and God, the Spirit, he'll begin to speak to my heart and he'll say, look at this and look at this. And I get excited about it. Anybody else get excited when you read your Bible? I love that. When God begins to reveal things to me. And God loves to do that. You know why God loves to do that? Because he loves you.
Amen.
I'd like y'all to do that right now. Look at your neighbor and say, God loves you. You might have to turn around and tell somebody that. Turn around and tell somebody, God loves you. Oh, how God loves you. And God loves the sinner too. He loves the person that doesn't have him. But the thing that God says is this. He says, you can come into my family. And if you come into my family, you come into my family by faith in Christ. But once you come in, I will give you of my Spirit. And as you read the Word, God will give you deeper things. But beloved, Jesus said, don't cast your pearls before the swine. Don't ever do that. The world doesn't need to know everything that God has told us. You know what the world needs? The world needs Jesus.
Amen.
The world needs the Holy Spirit inside. So John was getting ready to write this down. God said, no, don't do it. And it was God, because it says it was a voice from heaven saying, seal up those things. He said, no, don't tell them. He said, because it's not for them. The mysteries of the kingdom of God are for you, children. For those of you who love Jesus, God will take you to the deeper truths. Well, this little book, I want you to notice in verse number 8. It says, the voice which I heard from heaven spoke to me again. The first time that voice said, don't write anything down. But then the second time he said this, he said, go and take the little book which is opened in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. He said, I want you to take the little book. Now I find this interesting because here is an immense and a powerful angel. This angel standing between the sea and the earth. He's got a rainbow on his crown on his head and he's got the clouds all about him. And God says to John, he says, John, I want you to go and get the little book. I want you to take the little book. And I want to tell y'all, there's a message in this for each and every one of you who are believers in Christ today. God could have sent angels to preach the cross of Christ, but God did not. It was God in His infinite wisdom who gave us that great and wonderful message of Jesus Christ. It's God who calls us to tell others about Jesus. We're to be the light of the world. And we're to take that little book. John is told, go and get this little book, Jared. He says, I want you to get it from the hand of an angel. And I can imagine John, whenever he hears this, John doesn't say anything, but he goes and gets it. But can you imagine that? John's going up there and he goes up to this giant angel. And John looks up at this angel, big as the Empire State Building maybe. He's just huge. And he goes, Mr. Angel, God told me to take the little book. Y'all don't get that, do you? Do you get that?
Amen.
Can you imagine that? I want you to take the little book. And do you know what the angel does? The angel says, absolutely. Here's the little book. What you have, John, in your hand is a little book. It's going to be disparaged by the world. The world's not going to like it. But beloved, that little book is a key to life. He hands him, he says, give me that little book. And that angel, it says, the angel said to me, he said, John, take it. But then he says, John, I want you to eat it up. I don't want you to just take it. I want you to eat it up. I want you to chew it up. I want you to swallow it. I want it to become very part of your life. You know what you chew up and you eat becomes part of who you are?
Amen.
It makes your skin, your blood, it becomes the very essence of who you are. He says, I don't want you to memorize. He says, I just want you to take it inside of yourself. He said, I want you to take it and eat it up. And then what he says is this. He says, it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. Why is that? Oh my goodness, if you could stand up here on a Sunday morning when I'm preaching and see what I see. Oh, I love the Word of God.
Yeah.
I'll work on it all week long and I'll study it and I'll get ready and I'll get up here and I'm ready to preach it and I'll look out there and I'll see a curmudgeon out there looking mean at me. And I don't know, there might be some curmudgeons here, but I don't see too many curmudgeons here tonight. Maybe one over here, maybe two over here. I don't know. But God's Word, when you're a Christian, to consume it, to bring it into your life, it tastes so good.
Amen.
But beloved, it makes your belly bitter because it's frightening to tell unbelievers about Jesus.
Amen.
It's frightening to tell people about the Lord. It was frightening for me to stand up here this morning and tell people that God still has a standard in marriage.
Amen.
And marriage is one man and one woman.
Amen.
And God still has a standard in sexuality. And no, you're not allowed to go from bed to bed. God said that's wrong.
Right.
It's hard to say those things. There's people out there in sin that hear those words and they go, oh, that preacher. What a hateful man he is to say that. Can I tell you this? It's not my word. It's not what I made up. When God said we're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, with all of our being, that came out of His book.
Amen.
And when God said if you want to be blessed, you've got to do what God says, that came out of God's book.
Right.
But to share that, oh, it makes it tough. To share that to people who don't want to hear it, it makes it tough.
Right.
It makes your belly bitter. But see, that's natural. That's natural. Because I tell you, when I tell you, you've got to tell others about Jesus, I get scared too. Y'all wouldn't believe that, would you? But I get scared too. I'm scared to share the word. But you know what God has told me time and time again? He said, David, it's not your word.
Amen.
It's my word.
Amen.
And you've got to preach it and trust that I've got your back.
Amen.
I've got your back. God has your back when you do what God tells you to do. He tells John, he says, I want you to take this. You know, Jeremiah had a terrible ministry in the Old Testament. If you've ever read a book You need to read the book of Jeremiah. God told Jeremiah, he said, I want you to go to a people that are not going to listen to you. They're not going to hear a word you said. I tell you what, preacher don't want to hear that. Amen. God says, I want you to go preach to a bunch of knuckleheads that won't hear a word you say. And Jeremiah went and he started preaching to those people. And sure enough, nobody listened. And Jeremiah, at one point in his ministry, he looked around and he said, Lord, you didn't tell me it was going to be this hard. And Jeremiah was ready to quit. But in Jeremiah 15:16, he said this. He said, thy words were found, Lord, and I did eat them. But your word became to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. What a wonderful God we serve. Amen.
Amen.
God said over in Ezekiel 3, Ezekiel was another man who was sent. And Ezekiel and Jeremiah were very different people. Jeremiah had a tender heart. Ezekiel was Rambo. Y'all ever heard of Rambo? Rambo didn't care. He just go ahead. If you read the book of Ezekiel, you'll find it's completely different from Jeremiah. Jeremiah was getting his feelings hurt all the time. But Ezekiel just didn't care. God told him, he said, I want you to go and share my word. He said, sure. He said, they're not going to listen to you, Ezekiel. Ezekiel said, I don't care. And he just went out there and he preached. But God spoke to Ezekiel and he called him in Ezekiel 3, verses 1 through 3. And he told him this. He said, son of man, eat what you find. Eat this book and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat it, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. There's something to learn in those two prophets.
Amen.
Jesus said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have eternal life. We're to absorb God's word. We're to absorb it daily.
Amen.
We're to let it come into our lives to where God eventually, he just makes us strong enough to where we don't worry about what others say. We just worry about what God thinks.
Amen.
We serve a living God.
Amen.
And we begin to preach. That it tells us, verse number 10, he took the little book out of the angel's hand and he ate it up. And he says, it was in my mouth sweet as honey. Oh, how sweet God's word is. How precious it is. Oh, every time I even think of John 3:16, how sweet that is.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that sweet?
Amen.
To just bring that out. Oh, how God loved me. Oh, how God loved you. Oh, how God loves that sinner. Oh, how God loves that sexual sinner. He loves that homosexual. He loves that drug addict. He loves those people. He loved me when I didn't love him. He loves those people too. And he wants them reached too. He wants them to hear the word. So he took the little book and he said, it was in my mouth sweet as honey. You know what? He says in verse 10, as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. It's tough to be a Christian. The world will not understand. You need to quit trying to explain it to the world. The world's not going to understand, dear. They don't understand why we come to church. The world don't understand why we don't run around and sleep from bed to bed. The world don't understand why we don't go out to bars on Friday nights and drink till we're staggered. The world won't understand that, Jerry. They don't understand it. They don't have a concept. When you tell people, they go, well, why don't you come out with me? We're going to do some drinking and woman chasing. You say, no, I've got a wife and I've got a God that I love. They don't understand that. They go, oh, it's crazy. Why won't you go out? Because my God possesses me. And my God loves me.
Amen.
And one day I'm going to go be with my God forever.
Amen.
And one day I'm going to stand in front of him. My works will be judged. And I want to hear those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Don't y'all want to hear those words?
Amen.
That's what I want. In verse number 11, the angel says to him, this is the angel. He says, he said unto me, Thou must.
Amen.
It's not optional. Thou must. Christian, if you don't, America's going to keep going down. Thou must People will not be saved. Your children will die and go to hell if you don't. Thou must, your grandchildren will leave this life without Christ if you don't share it with him. Thou must. I've had parents tell me, oh, I'm going to wait until my child's old enough to make his decision. And then, once he decides, I'll follow what he says. Then you want to send that child to hell. Because I tell you this, a child is born in sin. Amen. We're all born in sin. Thou must. He says to John, thou must prophesy, preach again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. You have to share to everybody. You say, preacher, what does that mean to me? Many nations. It don't matter whether you're red, yellow, black, or white. They need Jesus.
Amen.
It don't matter if you're a buffalo or not. You need Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
Everybody needs Jesus. It don't matter what your family name is. They need Jesus. And he told him, he said, you've got to spread that word out. You're to share that cross. You're to share that little book. To share that Jesus with everybody. He said, John, you've got a work to do. You say, oh, preacher, it makes me nervous. Little book's supposed to do that.
Amen.
Makes me nervous too. But I'll tell you what, when you share it, you get a blessing out of it. Amen.
Amen.
Y'all have been a blessing to me tonight. I had a lot of fun looking at you. Well, most of you. Amen. Jerry, come lead us in a final hymn.